You don't know what they do. You don't know what they sacrifice. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
All right, welcome, bold Americans. Welcome back to a weekly recap show with Greg and Chris from Unleash the Political News Hour and Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. Can't wait to get started. There's been a lot going on this week between the eclipse that failed to bring on the rapture for everybody. Oh, darn. All the way through to Ashley Biden's laptop being declared that it's real. And I got myself in a bit of a fun conversation with Ed Krasenstein, except he didn't respond. He just unfollowed me and took his ball and went home. And Chris has been having a great time on his own show and doing some brilliant podcasting and radio. And so we'll start talking what happened throughout the week. Chris, how you doing this week?
I'm great. You know, it's funny. The day before the eclipse, I started to get something really scratchy in my eye. And then I didn't know what was going on. And then it traveled to my ear. And I was like, what on earth is this? Is this some kind of like bizarre virus?
Maybe you had pink eye starting or something.
That's what I thought. Somebody, you know, somebody's been farting on my pillow.
Yeah, somebody's been farting on your pillow. I won't go where I was going to go with that.
Oh, we know where that could go.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome everybody to the show. We're glad to have you here.
Hey, Manica Honey. Manica Honey changed the whole thing.
Excellent.
Changed the whole thing. I had two tablespoons of it, 8 hours apart. Everything went away.
And you're all good.
Everything was gone.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better and that the fart on your pillow didn't take you out for the week.
You don't care.
You were absolutely kind of hoping I care. In some way. I'd have to do this show by myself if you weren't here. And I do that already. And it's lonely. I don't want to have to do shows by myself at all time. And by the way, make sure you guys head over to AmericaOutloud.news. Check out all the colleagues' work. People like Chris Michaels over here on that side of the screen, as well as myself, Dr. McCullough, Malcolm Out Loud, and so many others. Chris, great job on your show, Unleash, this week. You were absolutely on top of it and brilliant this week. Great job. So make sure you guys go back and listen to that Monday at 7 p.m., but it's now replaying on podcast format. How do you do it? How do you do all your shows? You're doing like 5 shows now a week. You're like flip-flop with me.
Well, you know, I think you asked me how I did show prep, and I think I responded to you by saying, make it a double. So that's what happens. I mean, now this time of night, it's actually a double espresso.
Oh, nice.
But every once in a while, it's a double. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So this whole eclipse thing, we were supposed to, careen off of a cliff. That was the end of it. Sheila Jackson Lee had no idea what was going on. Did you see her give that speech?
No, tell me more.
Sheila Jackson Lee? Oh, well, she said, we are going to be on the moon soon.
Oh, that one. Yes, that was on your show. Yes. You talked about that. Yes.
Because the moon has gas on it, and that would enable people to. So here's the thing. She does have a modicum of truth in that, because the moon does have certain gases on it. I think there's about 6 of them. And my original thought when these politicians say something really bizarre like that, it's almost like the programming breaks down. So right. Did she know something that maybe some of us didn't know? I started to look into her past. She was on the House Committee of Science. So she trusts the science. But she makes all kinds of gaffes all the time. Like,
let's listen to this. Let's play it. That way we're all on the same. We have it, absolutely.
You've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat.
These are the people telling us to go get vaccinated, too.
Impossible
get to your go French near fries. The sun.
The moon is more manageable. And you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Oh, Sheila. Yes. Sheila, what are you doing? Next thing we know is she's going to come out and say, and I think we found a little bit of cheese, too.
Oh, yes. And now here's another little gem. We have to go back to about 2014 for this one.
All right.
She claimed that the Constitution was 400 years old. So you had the Pilgrims, John Smith, and Pocahontas all putting their John Hancock on this document. Oh, and then this one, too.
Wait, didn't she say there were two Vietnams?
Yes, a North and a South Vietnam. But this is a real gem. She wanted to know, did the Mars rover take a picture of the American flag that Neil Armstrong left on Mars in 1969? She said that with a straight face, too. So, I mean...
Oh, man.
I mean, she's like Maxine Waters. I can't tell who's dumber. I mean, these people are ridiculous. I mean, look at all the Democrat politicians out there. I mean, they're not smart. I mean, it even goes on the conservative side, too, because if you look into these conservatives that pop up out of nowhere, they usually have a checkered past. Like, oh, I don't know, escorting.
Well, that explains then in 2011 her comment where she called one of her staff members a stupid MF-er. And when they continue to ask her why they needed to go run to the supermarket at 2 a.m. to get garlic supplements for her, she was known to yell at them, "What am I, a prostitute? Am I your prostitute? You can't prostitute me." That is Sheila Jackson Lee, ladies and gentlemen. how does she have job security as a Democrat?
This is so ridiculous. And this person makes how much money per year? I wonder what her net worth is.
Oh,
because she's
going to
get...
up.
Yeah, she's going to get a pension along with this. She's served long enough.
Sheila Jackson Lee net worth. We're looking this up.
I mean, it's so crazy that these people get what they get. And I think that's part of the reason why McCarthy is so upset that he got kicked out, because he wasn't in there long enough to get that pension for being speaker. That's a big fat pension for being speaker, too.
So as of her top assets in 2014, she had a net worth of $3,451,000. However, in 2018, she only had a net worth of -$181,000. So yeah, she sounds very intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, she's certainly not bringing the potato salad to the Mensa picnic anytime
soon. She lost over $3 million in four years. It sounds like the Biden administration. I mean, you saw that, right? Inflation is coming back, and it's not just coming back. It's killing the average American right now in this country.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at a graphic recently that showed at the same point of Donald Trump's term where inflation was compared to the same point of Joe Biden's term. And we're talking a 30% increase on almost all different major categories like goods and food and clothing and housing. It just didn't come close. And this is an election year. If anything, Joe Biden should be able to artificially get the Federal Reserve to lower rates at this point to help him in his reelection. And he can't even do that because our economy is so absolutely screwed that Biden's without the button that goes lower for a few months. And so he's screwed right now. I mean, if you're on the Joe Biden administration team, thinking about your reelection hopes, and you hope to be able to convince people that America has a strong economy right now, it's going in the wrong direction. A 3.4% increase in the last 30 days is not what's supposed to be happening when you've increased the interest rates hand over fist on people for the last 3 years.
I know. And here's the crazy part. Are they talking about core inflation, or are they talking about inflation overall? So what's core inflation? For people that don't know, it is when they remove the costs for food and the energy sector. So they're talking about core inflation, and it is that bad. Imagine what happens when you add in energy and food. This guy is toast. He can't sustain himself on this. What are they going to run on?
Well, and then you got James O'Keefe that coming out with a barn burner yesterday, if you can believe that that person is actually a writer for the Federal Reserve. Did you see that?
I did.
So apparently he's Jerome Powell's writer that basically on camera is admitting to the fact that Jerome Powell hated Donald Trump and wanted to see Donald Trump fail and will do whatever they got to do to make sure he does not see office again. And when he writes the speeches, you know, he's keeping in mind the kind of campaigning, so to speak, in order to try to get Biden reelected as well. So I can't wait to see how this writer is spinning this. Well, I'm sure he's spinning his career somewhere else, but it's got interesting quick.
Well, what was really interesting about that whole thing to me was that, one, the Federal Reserve is not afraid to screw you over just to go after Donald Trump or to go after a political enemy. Two, even though Jerome Powell is a hardcore Bush Republican, he doesn't care. And it also goes to show you that there's no difference between the Democrat Party and the old Republican Party, the Bush Republicans, the Cheney Republicans, all of them. Because he says, oh, yeah, you know, the Biden administration just shows up and we talk. He's willing to go down these roads like DEI and climate change and all that. So there's this is so beyond unacceptable. It should be brought in front of a judge. This should not be some independent body. We're the Federal Reserve. There's nothing federal about it. It's a conglomeration of banks.
Yeah, let's play that clip from James O'Keefe real quick for people so they can hear it.
Right now, I'm preparing for something. I'm gonna do a to the Fed board.
Meet Harel Hiesmo. He's a principal economist working inside the Federal Reserve.
So you write speeches for Powell?
Yeah, like for, you know, certain paragraphs.
I'm just really worried that I'm saying stuff like stuff that's classified.
Do you deal with classified stuff?
It's all classified, right?
Quote, it's all classified.
It's all classified.
Trump is it's a crazy person. It's very clear. I mean, he's a dumb guy.
Does he hate Trump? It, like, is the feeling neutral?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And Trump was president. He wanted to stimulate the economy.
Right.
But he wouldn't do it. And he started raising interest rates.
So he says when Trump was president, he wanted to stimulate the economy and Powell didn't want to do it for him. So he starts raising the interest rates. This is criminal. And the problem is the Fed answers to no one. It's time to end the Fed. I'm with Ron Paul. I'm with Rand Paul. And the end the Fed chants from 2008. Let's bring them back. And get this, Harel Hiesmo is the face of End the Fed, the show that it truly is a weaponized currency, a fiat currency that doesn't mean anything more than the toilet paper wiping your rear end, except they can assign whether or not there's enough toilet paper at Costco for you. That's basically what your money is. This is BS.
And on top of that, he's not afraid to say that that Trump would enact a policy or remove restrictions and Powell would create policies at the Federal Reserve to counter what Trump is doing just because Powell doesn't like Trump.
Correct.
This is and Trump is the one that got him there.
But there's no weaponization of federal agencies against Donald Trump. There's no plan to usurp the presidential powers and make sure that he can't continue to keep control in the next election. There's no one out there. There's no corrupt judges, Chris Michaels.
No.
They all want what's best for this world right now. They all want to make sure that you know if you are defined as guilty in court, then you're guilty. If they say that you're not guilty, well, it just depends what the left thinks that you are.
Yes. Like, who's the guy from New Jersey? Menendez.
Ah, yes.
Who got caught with stolen gold bars?
Yes.
Where did he get those from?
Him and his wife were doing some crazy stuff.
Right. And they said this. One, we're going to try the two of them separately. So Menendez and his wife, separate. Two, we're not going to go after Menendez because it could be election interference. And he also has some kind of health issue to take care
of. I think
the
wife does, right?
Or something like that. Yeah. One of them does. But what happens to Trump? Trump, it's got to be done now.
We got to get this trial in.
Like Merchan, that Judge Merchan should not be anywhere near this case. His daughter is making money hand over fist. Lauren Merchan. Did you see any of that came out with Laura Loomer?
Yes. I've struggled to understand what is fact versus fiction with Laura Loomer. So
right.
I pause knowing that there is a ton that she posts that just is not trustworthy. There is truth in some of what she's posting, but it's enough that I don't pay attention to her account enough.
Right. And there is an element of muckraking and all of that, mm-hmm. too. But it goes on both sides. I mean, like Ed Krasenstein. I mean, validating that, oh, yes, plenty of men take showers with their daughters. What? What? No, and then defending it and doubling down on all that?
Yeah, well, you probably saw I posted a video about Ed earlier this week. Now, in fairness, I did not attack Ed whatsoever in my video. I don't believe in ad hominem personal attacks. I don't believe in attacking people's voices or whatever, which is a lot of what social media does. I broke down, basically phrase by phrase, why he is vehemently incorrect, abhorrently wrong, and idiotically continuing to push a narrative that makes abuse victims endangered by their families and those that wish to victimize them by not putting the proper words and context into the story of which he was responding. So, Chris, he was talking about Ashley Biden's diary, the start. That's where the conversation started. But when the spotlight got turned back onto the Biden team and Ashley Biden, he immediately made it about, well, there's lots of fathers that take showers with their kids that are naked. And it completely ignored the context of what Ashley Biden had written in that diary. And then he kept going, it's the alleged diary. Tell me, Chris, how many alleged diaries get people convicted of theft?
Zero.
Now, why would that be? You cannot get convicted of theft of something that doesn't exist. Is that true?
I believe so, because then it would be a fiction.
That's correct, which means that the diary was a true instance of a writing. And these were, it was a fact. And these clowns that continue to say that it's alleged, I think you're in complete la-la land. But what's even worse is, this is the same party that said during the Me Too movement, every woman must be believed. The woman who accused Judge Kavanaugh during his, you know, trial is what I'm going to call it, because it wasn't a confirmation hearing. They put him on trial for rape, and we were supposed to believe her because every woman's to be trusted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now Ashley Biden is writing that when she was a child at some point in time, an early teenager is what she made it sound like by those writings, that she felt that she had been molested at some point in her life, and she felt uncomfortable around families and friends, including her own father, who she said in parentheses in her journal that she had probably not appropriate showers with her dad and experienced being turned on when she wasn't supposed to be, and she would hear her father in the room upstairs having sex, and how she reacted to it. She felt was disordered, basically, is what she was putting in her words. And then Ed Krasenstein wants to go on to the X platform and tell everybody, oh, but everybody, it's okay. Why you got to make this about sex? This isn't about sex. It's normal. Psychiatrists say you can shower with your kid up until the age of 5. No, Ed,
what?
You're not listening to the story. The story is, here is an adult now writing about a childhood experience of an age of reasoning that says, I was molested. Where's the belief in that story? You know, why are we using aboutism? But Trump did something at a beauty pageant or whatever. I don't give an S right now. I only care about protecting kids that say they might have been abused. I'm done with that account. Done with. I had people tell me today, hop in a room because he was taking questions. I'm like, I'm done. I'm not engaging any further with the Krasensteins, because that is a false prophet for people. People that are rage engaging people, and they know exactly what they're doing right now. And I don't want to be in any way, shape, or form associated evermore. And you know what? I'm going to share something on this show right now that I would have kept in the DMs, but
exclusive.
I'm putting it out here. This is an exclusive. If you're listening and you want to have a little clip about the Krasensteins, back during the Lahaina fires, I reached out to Brian and Ed. Now, I never really had many conversations with Brian. He never really responded to DMs. He follows me still, which I'll give him credit. He didn't delete me after I went after Ed's post. But Ed regularly would speak with me. And during the time of Lahaina, I was interviewing people from the island.
I remember.
And one of the individuals had organized a fundraiser that was going directly to GoFundMes of the legitimate verified people that were victims of these fires. And so I offered to put Ed and Brian in touch with her. And I asked, would you share the GoFundMe? And his response, and I don't have it up in front of me right now, but I'm going to paraphrase it the best of my ability, was we really can't get involved with that type of thing and promote it, because if somebody abuses the money, I don't want that coming back on me. Look, you do the right thing when you got a million followers and people are hurting. No one's going to be like, oh, damn, Greg, you put that out there and people abuse the money in the midst of people suffering. You do the damn right thing. And that told me a lot about their character in that moment, that they were incapable of doing the right thing for fear that they could do the wrong thing. Operate out of love, not fear. That's a lesson for life.
Sounds like the stereotypical Democrat. I mean, look at all of the doctors that acted the same way during COVID and still do to this day. Look at all the scientists and the professors that also act that same way out of fear. If I don't say this, I don't get the money. That's all that sounded like to me about him. But that kind of relationship with their followers, all he's doing is making his base froth at the mouth, right? He says things that are extremely pro-Democrat. The Democrats can do no wrong. I mean, he's like Harry Sisson, another Adderall addicted, in my opinion. He's a cartoon. He's a caricature of a human being. And then it goes in the opposite direction too, because you get people like us that are capable of thought, look at his crap, and say, are you a mental invalid? I mean, how dumb do you have to be? So he gets the clicks and the views from all directions, which is his real goal. He doesn't care about helping people. He's an entertainer. He's an influencer. And he uses politics as his material.
Right.
That's all he is. And he takes advice from the Democrats. It's clear to everybody that the Democrats are basically writing his stuff.
I don't know that they're exactly writing his stuff as much as
influencing them.
Exactly. As much as they're influencing, and he's figured out how to keep the money coming into his pockets.
Right.
You know, eventually, I think you and I, we've talked off the show before about this, but I've been offered by several people pretty large incentives to basically shill for Donald Trump and to make my show all about Donald Trump left and right, and be rah, 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 that money would be pouring in for me. And I refuse to do it because I believe that I need to call things to the best of my ability, and I don't ever want to be compromised. You know, it would be great to have the type of money that the Krasensteins have. I don't have that type of money. But you know what? I'm also not hurting. And because I'm not hurting, I have the teaching job and I have this. I can keep my sanity, so to speak, and be able to lay my pillow on my bed at the end of every single night, and then put my head on top of it and rest easy. Very important to me.
That is important. But you could have a house like mine.
That could. I mean, that's a beautiful house.
Fine way.
Which in no way, shape, or form is... it's funny. The lighting always looks the same no matter what time we do the show, Chris.
Yeah, it's...
I don't know. I mean, the sun just always seems to be out at your home. It's always sunny in Long Island, apparently.
Yeah, I'm very cheerful. So, I mean, the sun's always pouring down through the windows.
Speaking of the sun pouring down. Yeah. All right. We got to talk about the story in Bill Gates and California and what they just put out there. Have you seen the salt being put up in the air?
I have.
Okay.
And they said it was super secret.
Yeah. Now, let me just make this very clear. For the last 2 years, I know that the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels,
incessantly,
and America Emboldened has told you, pay attention to what the skies look like above you, And we've called them chemtrails, right? I mean, we have. And Ben Davidson was very careful to say to us, they're not chemtrails, guys. And I think he was correct in his assessment. You and I probably never saw coming this story that just broke out of California, that they're putting salt crystals in order to induce a cloud cover and reflect back sunlight in order to fight global warming.
Yes.
So we're not imagining that their sky is hazier at this point in time. We're actually seeing a Bill Gates experiment directly above our eyes, likely for the last several years, but finally released to the public.
Well, here's my problem with that article and what they said about this. One, the easy part. They said that this was a top secret, super secret experiment that happened on April 2nd. And they didn't want to tell anybody about it because they didn't want to get people upset. So they're admitting that this salt experiment occurred on April 2nd. So what's been going on for the prior 2.5 decades? What have they been spraying up there? Is it really salt? Is it really jet fuel? I refuse to believe it's jet fuel. I'm sorry. And here's the other wrinkle to all of this. They are doing what? They're trying to reflect the sun's rays because that implies that climate change is due to the sun and not you and me.
Oh, so it sounds like what Ben Davidson's been saying.
Right. And that completely deflates every single climate change, 15-minute city, EV, carbon credit, BS we've been hearing since, I don't know, 2020. So this article, to me, limited hangout. It's become so obvious, and so many people on social media have been posting pictures about whatever these lines are, chemtrails, salt crystals, whatever you want to call them, that we have to do something. We have to say something. So we'll just say it's salt. No big deal.
Well, so what I love is they even admit that they didn't widely announce it to avoid public backlash.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like podcasts like ours haven't been talking about what happened in Mexico with these companies that were already doing this, putting this up into the clouds, or talking about how it's been banned in several continents already around the world, and how Bill Gates was trying to find a continent that he could do it on with his organization. That it's not Bill Gates, okay, let's be clear.
Oh, yes,
it's Bill Gates financed, okay?
Sure.
So, but it's the same damn thing. You're putting your money into it, making this. So they're sending these aerosols into the sky in order to put the sunlight away from the earth. Now, I was thinking, you know what I did about a year and a half ago?
No.
I put solar panels on my home.
And?
Well, I'm wondering, if they're going to start taking our skies away from us and putting this little layer so we're not getting a full part, that means my solar panels that the government helped me finance, because, right, they're giving me incentives, it means the government is pissing away their money on solar panels because they're only going to block out the sun and make my solar panels less efficient, which means moving over to EV vehicles and moving over to this electrified world is less efficient. Because one of the cool things for me right now is I got the Tesla, I got the solar panels, I charge my car for free, right? The energy from the sun goes straight into my car and I'm driving with the power of nature right now, which is awesome. But if they're going to block this out or block it out, well, God, I'm screwed. Why'd I put my money into this? They are making policies, handcuffing you to them, and then holding the water away and going, doesn't this look really good? You can't have it now. It's my water. Screw you, bureaucrats.
That's exactly what it is. It's a big grift. It is the biggest scam out there. And did you see this whole article about NOAA, N-O-A-A, right? So when they're claiming that it's going to be the hottest summer ever in the history of forever, right? That's what this whole thing is about, right? July, August, September, it's going to be hotter than you could fry eggs in Maine on the pavement. That's how hot this is going to be. It's going to melt everything. Well, they did a study, and they found out that all of the weather stations that are helping generate this data for NOAA that makes these claims, about a third of them don't even exist. They did at one point, but they're all gone now. However, here's the fun part. They're still reporting temperatures and climate.
How?
How? Who's doing this? And then, you know, you have to also factor in that a lot of these weather stations cover climate. I should say this way. They cover areas that have extremely diverse climates. So the areas that these stations cover are too big. Let's say they cover 100 miles, 150 miles, or 50 miles, or whatever. You go 50, that's essentially 100 miles all around, right? Let's just assume it's 50 miles. It's 100 miles from end to end of this coverage for this station. Well, if you do that and you put it in a city during the summer with heat radiating off the blacktop, or if you put it on a tarmac where there's no shade, a lot of blacktop, and a lot of turbines, what do you think is going to show?
Well, one of my favorite things that I'm starting to see is this article right here. Now, this is from 2023, but there's been more publishing since then. This is something that I've been pretty well aware of. I've actually spoke to somebody who was a naval officer recently, as well as I spoke to a couple boating captains after the Baltimore Harbor incident. And they said, well, you know, Mike Greg, something you should be covering on your show is actually the Gulf Stream weakening and what that's going to do. Now, there are people that are working at high levels of government. We'll just leave it at that because I don't want to give away any of the people I might have been in contact with if people want to try to trace this. but there's people in high levels of government that are sharing with me that this is proof that global warming is going to do absolutely nothing compared to what Mother Nature has planned for us. The Gulf Stream is starting to slow down. And what that does, it provides the trade waters that start in the Gulf spinning. Well, they're actually part of a huge circular movement around the globe, but starts, goes up the East Coast and then goes out towards England and helps steer storms, as well as it steers our jet stream. While this thing is weakening at this point in time, and there are many people that believe that within the next 50 years, it could stop. When it stops, that means the entire Mid-Atlantic region of the United States will be plummeted by almost 20 degrees less in Fahrenheit, which means in the summertime, instead of going to 98 degrees, the hottest it's getting is 78 degrees. This is a huge contradiction to the individuals that are saying, well, look at climate change. We gotta put these EVs. We got to get these solar panels. We got to block the salt in the air. Until they go, we know how to continue to strengthen the Gulf Stream. I don't want to hear anymore about what the hell they're going to do above us because the sun is starting to hit us from above down below. This is horrible, right? We got to get the regulation of temperatures under control in the Gulf Stream, which I don't think man is capable of doing. This happens all the time. The Earth goes through cycles, and we're simply about to go through a new cycle.
100%. There was also a report that happened this week, too, that, land is sinking because water is rising, right? And then they did a study in the Maldives. Well, guess what? Well, the Maldives have more land now than they ever did. And they're actually gaining even more land. Now, where's that land coming from? I mean, this isn't a Chinese-built airfield on top of a coral atoll. This is actual land rising. This is a natural thing. When you're talking about the Gulf Stream, yes, that stuff does change. It is cyclical. It's not unheard of. All you have to do is pick up a geology book, if you believe mainstream geology. You can see it right there. It happens. It happens often. Did you see what the president of Guyana did to the BBC this week?
No, I didn't.
Oh, man. So the BBC, in all of its wokeness, tried to guilt trip Guyana by saying, oh, you should stop drilling for oil. You should stop doing this. Shame, shame, shame. The BBC said that you're expected to get $150 billion worth of oil and gas off your coastline. And what are you going to do? It's an extraordinary figure. And they say 2 billion tons of carbon emissions will come from your seabed. from those reserves. And he goes, stop. Did you know that Guyana has a forest that is the size of England and Scotland? A forest that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon? A forest that we kept alive? And then here's the best part of it. The best part. The BBC said, did the rainforest give you the right to go?
We got to watch it. I pulled it up. I did watch this, but I didn't realize what I watched before. But here it is. I mean, I realized it, but I kind of forgot all about this. Check this out.
Expected that there will be $150 billion worth of oil and gas extracted off your coast. That means, according to many experts, more than 2 billion tons of carbon emissions will come from your seabed, from those reserves, and be released into the atmosphere. I don't know if you, as a head of state, went to the COP in Dubai.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there.
Please play it.
Ghana has a forest forever that is the size of England and Scotland combined, a forest that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon, a forest that we have kept alive. A forest that we have kept alive.
Does that give you the right? Does that give you the right to release all of this carbon?
Does that give you the right to lecture us on climate change? I am going to lecture you on climate change because we have kept this forest alive that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon that you enjoy, that the world enjoy, that you don't pay us for, that you don't value, that you don't see a value in, that the people of Guyana has kept alive. Guess what? We have the lowest deforestation rate in the world. And guess what? Even with our greatest exploration of the oil and gas resource we have now, we will still be net zero. Guyana will still be net zero. With all our exploration,
we'll still be net zero.
No, no,
there's
no.
Powerful words, Mr. President.
I'm not completed as yet. I am not finished as yet.
He's like, I haven't kicked your ass enough yet, so let me continue. Yeah,
I am just not finished as yet because this is the hypocrisy that exists in the world. The world in the last 50 years has lost 65% of all its biodiversity. We have kept our biodiversity. Are you valuing it? Are you ready to pay for it? When is the developed world going to pay for it? Or are you in the pockets? Are you in the pockets of those who have damaged the environment? Are you and your system in the pockets of those who destroyed the environment through the Industrial Revolution and now lecturing us?
It is
mic drop moment.
I would have gotten up, just take the mic off and leave at that point.
I think I'd quit my job as a BBC reporter if I was embarrassed that much.
Just mop the floor with that guy.
Yes. I mean, can you imagine going back to the office? How'd your interview go, Greg? Whew. Well, we got a good segment coming up, but not for us.
Well, do you remember Dunkirk? It's kind of like that.
The Trusted News Initiative just got exposed.
but this is a bigger point here.
Yeah,
is that all of these carbon metrics? It doesn't factor in what the president is saying. Is that there are forests that compensate for this carbon emission,
right?
And that never factors into anything. Nothing. I mean, if you want to do a good study, study the state of New York. It is possibly one of the most diverse states you can think of. You've got Manhattan and the five boroughs, but then you go just a little bit north of Manhattan, you got farmland, forests, mountains, everything. How much carbon is being absorbed just by the environment itself? Never mind the fact that they don't even factor in plankton. Plankton is one of the biggest sources of absorbing all of that carbon. They don't talk about that. They only talk about emissions.
Right.
It's nuts. It's nuts. And then, you know, then we get down the road of what you brought up plenty of times, where the credit card companies and the banks and all the financial institutions, they're monitoring us through our transactions, how many times we take flights, how many times we fill up. And then they have a credit score. They've got a social credit score that factors in carbon and the amount of carbon we supposedly emit. I mean, come on here. Yep.
Hey, has the ground stopped shaking up by you?
Yes.
No, it hasn't.
No?
No. In fact, goodness, there's been 80 earthquakes, aftershocks, along the Ramapo fault line since the 4.8 last Friday. Were you aware of that?
No. I haven't seen a thing.
I follow this pretty well. My listeners, Chris, they know I'm a weather and earthquake nerd, and I always have been and always will be. But back when I became part of the Suspicious Observers community, there was learning about solar forcing, solar winds, and flares, and how that could affect the Earth's tectonic plates. And so I've been paying attention a little bit to that area, because the Ramapo fault line, that shouldn't be having aftershocks. It's a dead fault in the United States, which is why on the East Coast, anytime we normally get these little 3.5ers or 4.0ers once every 10 years, you normally don't have aftershocks except maybe two of them, because the fault, after it starts shaking, restabilizes down the line, kind of locks in, and the pressure continues, but it's a pretty stable line. The fact that we have 80 aftershocks, ranging from a 2.2 to a 3.9 since Friday and regularly, tells me that that fault is either unstable or that there is something going on deposit-wise underneath that area of magma, iron, that is moving magnetically with what's been pulsing throughout the Earth. And so are we seeing more volcanic activity, things that are coming alive? Now, what's really interesting is if you follow my X feed at Real Greg Bolden, you'll see that I posted a triangle. But not only did I post a triangle of what I did, and it's tough to see now because it's off this 3D map, but I'm going to put it up so you guys can see what I'm looking at. And unfortunately, this version of it that I'm going to show you is not necessarily the best. There was an earthquake up here. Now, what was really cool about this is when I brought this up, and let me refresh it really quick here, I can view this from inside the Earth. And guess what I discovered when I put the triangles and overlapped them?
What?
It was directly over the same latitude and longitude of Taiwan and what was happening, which would tell us that the deposits inside the Earth, perhaps we were learning a little bit about what was going on there. Let me just pull this one more time inside. It's flipping the map, and I can't do anything about it while we're live on air. But
now, what were the magnitudes of the ones in Asia?
The ones in Asia were a 7.8, followed by, in Japan, it was, I'll pull it up for you so we can see it all, a 5.4, and down below a 6.8, this triangle here. And then we had our own triangle. Now, if you look at my X feed, yesterday I posted South America, and I said, this region right here, along Ecuador, there was no earthquake there yesterday, 24 hours ago. And I said, based upon the sun's activity and what's happening right now, this, according to this triangle right here, we will probably see an earthquake right along here. And I posted that on my X feed. And then within 23 hours, bam, you have your 4.6. And there's people that don't think you can predict earthquakes. You can't predict them with 100% accuracy and certainty. It's absolutely impossible. They're correct. But you can see where there is an increased risk. Now, people would have said, well, you got lucky in that region. No, I didn't. This region down here in Argentina, down by this coastline, that's where the Ring of Fire has been active for the last few weeks. Me predicting something right here, you should see with almost absolute certainty, I was correct. There's been no other activity in that region, and I absolutely nailed it. Why is it I can see this, but the average person is ignoring it and not noticing that the Earth is showing us signs at this point, that it's waking up?
Well, I think a lot of people adhere to mainstream science, where they think nature is completely random, whether you're talking about evolution or predicting earthquakes, right?
Right.
Because once you understand that nature can be predictable and can be mapped out, does follow a geometric pattern, does follow sequences in math and frequency, then all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm connected to all of this. And how am I connected to all of this? Why do I feel funny during an eclipse? Or why did I feel funny during an earthquake? I will say this. When I did feel that earthquake, I felt a bit of pressure on my head afterwards. So when all this started to happen, my chandelier shook, my table shook, and I thought it was the pig upstairs from me. But it wasn't. It was actually an earthquake. Then my phone blew up about the earthquake happening. And then once it was all done, I felt this pressure. It wasn't sinus pressure. I can't explain it. It was almost like a head pressure, like an electromagnetic pressure. There's something pressing. And it almost made me feel disoriented, almost like dizzy. It was really, really odd. So I think that's why most people don't believe nature can be predicted, because they don't want to, because they were not led down that road. Now, what made you say that? Why did you say that this was going to be the spot? Because I saw it, but I didn't understand it.
So I've been looking at these maps since Friday. I've been very concerned about New York City. Particularly, I don't know why. I'm concerned about the tunnels. And it's just a bit of a gut feeling of paying attention to the aftershocks and knowing that if something were to rattle again above a 4.8, if you get into like the 5.5s, knowing that we're dealing with a 5 kilometer deep to 8.5 kilometer deep shaking that close to New York City, that close to our tunnel system, I feel like it could endanger a lot of people if this continues. And so I've been trying to find where are the patterns, and the fact that I was able to nail Ecuador, that tells me that I'm not crazy, right? Because there's part of me, I want to make sure I don't have confirmation bias. I want to make sure that the patterns that I'm seeing are actually making sense.
Right.
And that aligned. And so that's the reason why I was like, let me pick an area where there haven't been earthquakes lately. So no one can say, oh, well, you got lucky because there's always earthquakes in that area. Let me pinpoint a region and see if it works. And I felt like it was going to be 24 to 48 hours, and bam, I nailed it.
Yeah, and then I sent you that flat Earth map, and then
right. I did not post that because I agree with flat Earth.
No, I posted
because it made it very easy to show opposite latitudes and longitudes.
Right, that's what I was getting at. Correct. Is that you could see the symmetry more readily on a flat Earth map, and it was almost identical. It almost looked like a mirror reflection between New York and the triangle that you created and what was created in Asia. So, I mean, this stuff is all connected. It's all connected. And imagine what they could do, they being the bad guys, could do if they understood all of this. Remember the disclosure?
I think they might.
I'm pretty sure they do at this point. Remember the disclosure talk that happened over the summer? Where all the UFO people came out,
yes.
And they started to talk about things. And then you had a guy there that talked about what was going on in Antarctica. And I forget exactly what the technology was. Like, it's some long-winded thing. I think it involved the word neutrino. And he said, well, being that the Antarctic Treaty says no weapons, they just build things that don't fall under the definition of what a weapon is. So what does that mean? It means they can manipulate the environment. So they flipped this neutrino thing on. And it caused that earthquake in New Zealand, and then they had to turn it off. So, if this whistleblower's story is accurate,
all you got to do is go back through the FBI files and look at Nikola Tesla, and you know that earthquake machines actually exist.
Yes.
I mean, we've known this since Nikola Tesla created the first one and absolutely rattled the hell out of New York City's buildings.
Yes.
So,
100%.
You know, if he could do that in the early 20th century, they can easily do that now. Two things before we wrap up that are of interest. Did you see the Hodge twins interviewed RFK Jr.?
No.
So the Hodge twins, which are basically the conservative version of Ed and Brian Krasenstein, they got RFK Jr. on their show, and they asked him why he is so sure that the CIA murdered his uncle. And it gets really, really spicy. I'm going to just tell listeners, we don't have time to play the whole segment. It's 18 minutes long.
No.
Go follow Hodge Twins at Hodge Twins, H-O-D-G-E Twins. you're going to hear why none of these presidents, including Donald Trump, are willing to unopen the files, the last 1,000 pages. And what RFK Jr. is, if I'm picking up what he's throwing down, he's basically saying you have a current sitting former president still alive that's family is complicit in the murder of a president, that you have other individuals high up in politics that have people that were part of it, as well as Woody Harrelson from Natural Born Killers.
Yes, I remember that one.
That his own, was it his father?
His father.
His father was one of the assassins.
And Lion Ted.
Exactly. And so when you realize that the Bushes would be implicated in all of this, that you have Hollywood implicated in this, and then you wonder about how, Stone put together with Woody Harrelson that film, then you start to go, what have they been trying to tell us? And so I thought RFK Jr., that was a very interesting interview, and I definitely think you should check it out before you do another podcast as well, because I think you're going to be really into it.
Oh, that's going to be great. And also, RFK, I'm not an RFK fan. I wouldn't vote for him, but I do like the idea that he just rattles cages.
Yes.
And that's something to be said. He was on CNN, I think, with Erin Burnett, or whatever her name is.
Mm-hmm. We played that last week.
Right. Well, I thought this was a new one because it was making the rounds yesterday.
No, we played the one about him supporting that Joe Biden was going to be worse for the democracy than Donald Trump.
I think so. But I thought, well, maybe that's it. So then there we go. The Department of Redundancy Department strikes again. Mm-hmm. I thought.
I just don't want our listeners going, didn't I listen to the show last week?
No, not at all. Not at all. Something different happened.
he went on Erin Burnett again. She couldn't get enough of him.
I thought this was different because he said something along the lines of like what has Trump done? And
Might have been a different segment. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't say anything. He didn't try to incite anything. There was no seditious act. Right, he wasn't trying to overturn the election. He was trying to do any of this. But Joseph Biden did silence me, did go after me and all of that.
Did deny him Secret Service protection. Did,
right.
Right. Yep, I mean it's all there for anybody who actually is paying attention and wants to see it.
Yeah, and then you also had that other story that came out, the undercover one, real quick right now, with that CIA guy that came out and basically said the reason why Alex Jones got into a lot of trouble was because the CIA wanted to cut him off at the knees and wanted to drain him financially. And they couldn't do it because they couldn't do it in a big way. They couldn't throw him in prison, so they had to nail him with civil suits. They weren't directing it, but they were saying, look, if you did this, something may be able to happen. So now you know why Donald Trump is in hot water with all of these civil suits. It's being orchestrated probably by the intelligence agencies or, you know, the local Gestapo office that you have with Department of Homeland Security or the FBI at this point.
Your words, not mine. I'd like to fly
exactly.
soon.
Exactly.
I don't need to be put
You're
on
the
list.
You're clean. I'm
things.
Not.
and then the last thing here that we have is a story that broke on Wednesday was NASA reported that a Russian spacecraft came very, very close to hitting one of their satellites.
I did not hear this.
Yes. In fact, they said it was a near miss that could have put our space station lives at risk, that it would have caused bullet fast debris pieces flying through, which could have taken down the entire space station and killed people. So that's pretty interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a space force for good reason. Don't make fun of it. Just because Donald Trump implemented a space force, trust me, start paying attention to these stories. It's there for a very, very good reason.
Reminds me of the story that the Russians came out with the ISS, where they said the United States was sabotaging the ISS by putting little holes all over the place and removing screws and bolts to try to create instability. So space is the next place. That's where it's going to be.
The final frontier. All right, Michaels, it's been a blast. We got through that hour like you wouldn't believe. I mean, people probably want more. Well, guess what? you got to wait till next week before you get some more. So we'll get some more Bolden and Michaels with you next Friday. We'll do all this once again. What do you got coming up in the coming week?
Well, as always, Unleashed on the America Out Loud Network at 7 p.m. on Monday nights. So you can find me there. And don't forget to listen to all of the other hosts on Unleashed. I mean, that's going to be the great part about it. And then I do my own show, Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. Everywhere you have a podcasting platform to dip into. And I do 4 podcasts a week there. And then I do this. So, I mean, oh my God, talk so much.
If you're not following Chris Michaels already, he is at Last Call Caravan. Run, don't walk. The people that are watching right now, listening right now, make sure you go over to that social media feed. Hit the follow, like, subscribe button, whatever it is. Send him heart emojis. Oh. Send him high fives.
Yes.
Whatever it may be. Mind blown, right? Send him lots of emojis. Send him love that way. And he'll know that he came from this show. And then, obviously, you've been listening to America Emboldened here on the America Out Loud News Network, as well as everywhere you get your podcast. You go to AmericaEmboldened.com. Also, support the show on Patreon.com/AmericaEmboldened. You know, we do the show without any commercial sponsors, without anybody, you know, paying us to speak and say something they want us to say. But if you would like to help support the show, you can go over to patreon.com/AmericaEmboldened. You become a subscriber, both free or paid. That's up to you. And as always, if you're watching on X right now, thank you for watching. X at Real Greg Bolden. And you'll get some content throughout the course of every week right there. We hope that we honored your time well. We'll be back next week doing this all again. I'll be back with you on Monday doing the solo episodes. Chris, have an awesome weekend, bud.
You too, Greg. See you next week.
All right, Bold Americans, that is it. That is all. I'll see you all next week. You've been watching or listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden and Chris Michaels here on the America Out Loud News Network. Be bold, America.